I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. This is Wednesday, March 26, 2025, and this is a collective bargaining session taking place at the University of Central Florida. It involves the team from the United Faculty of Florida, UCF chapter, and the team representing the UCF Board of Trustees. We had an extra meeting in late February, and I think Charlie's going to show us draft minutes from February 24th.
It is showing, right?
It is.
Okay.
Robert, any feedback?
No. Could I request a different font?
You may request always.
No, this is good.
Yovana's not here, right? She's usually the
She's
one who
not
is here.
here. No, she had a conflict today.
Okay, that's too bad. All right. So I'm gonna stop sharing. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Charlie, for showing those minutes. Robert, as we understand it, you have some things that you want to share with us
Yeah,
this
do you have an
afternoon.
agenda, Chuck? Did you create an agenda for
Well,
today?
it was kind of informal that we did it over the
Okay, so
email.
the three items, the only on the agenda is the three items we want to present.
Yeah, that's what I'm
All right,
thinking of.
fantastic. Okay, we are going to start, and the person who is going to start for us is Jason Phillips, and I believe you're here. I saw you earlier, right, Jason?
Yes,
So if you
he is
could
present.
unmute and lead us off, and if you, I'll share the screen for the article, Jason, and just tell me where you want me to navigate if you're presenting something specifically from the article. And again, just be sure to introduce yourself, Jason, because I think many people here may not know who you are.
Hello, my
And
name.
also, I'm sorry, Jason, before you do, there is somebody else who doesn't have their name up, and I just sent a note to please add the name to the title because that's our agreement that everyone puts their name up there because I don't want to get bombed. So, okay, I don't want you to get bombed, Jason. All right, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Jason Phillips. I'm a member of the bargaining team and faculty at UCF as a librarian at UCF Libraries. I'm presenting on Article 32. We've discussed the proposed change by administration, looking at the lecturer definition. As a quid pro quo, we are proposing adding definitions for the other positions specifically mentioned in the CBA. And so we've gone in and added these terms to the list. We received these definitions from HR. So this is language that UCF is already using.
When you say HR, what do you mean by that?
Charlie, was the document you had sent me of the classifications that I requested?
Oh, that's that. Okay, so I'm not HR, so I was
No,
wondering.
I'm assuming you got it from HR. I don't know. That's where I
No,
thought you got it from.
oh.
no. Okay,
Okay.
but that's why I was asking. Thank you.
So whatever source of that document is, we're using the definitions from that document that have been shared with us. I'm Robert, feel free to scroll through. We've got associate scholar, scientist, engineer, instructional designer, instructional specialist, librarian, professor, research, and research associate.
You understand there's a senior research associate position for people who have promotion
So,
criteria.
may I ask something here? That something, am I allowed to speak?
Of course.
So, under research associate, that's the only one that caught my attention. It says it holds a master's degree. Typically, they hold a PhD. So, maybe we want to say master's or higher.
Well, again, that's probably why these positions haven't been defined officially in this way, because a research associate in puppeteering, for instance, might not require a college degree at all.
I see,
And
because
that's not my area, right? That's more Heidi Watt's area, but we'll have to look at this and give you our feedback after some talking.
because you mean different things in different fields.
You want to be careful that you don't lock it down too tightly, because then you'll be excluding people that you don't mean to exclude. And that would be our concern, I think, at least one there. Jason, did you want to address why you feel that it would be beneficial to add these to the collective bargaining agreement and that flexibility therein?
Well, again, we're going solely based off the document that had been shared with us. So we've not made any changes or tweaks to that language. And we just feel that if we're going to the trouble of, making this change specifically to the lecturer position, that all positions articulated in the CBA are also listed.
Even though that might, well, I guess I've already said that.
Oh, we would be very interested in taking a look at this and looking it over. This adds a lot of language to this article that was not something that had occurred to us, but we appreciate you presenting this and alerting us to your interest in this. What I think is different with the instructor lecturer versus these other positions is the definitions added some clarity to whether someone who is coming in a non-tenure earning instructional position should be an instructor or a lecturer, that clarified that. I don't know that we've got that same kind of decision that would be made with a lot of these other positions, but we're interested in taking a look at this, and we'll look it over and get back to you on that.
We
But
are.
Jason, as I understand what you said, that there was a document that our office shared with the UFF, and you've tried to incorporate the language that was in that document to describe these positions.
That's correct. There were no changes to the language taken from that document. We're using it word for word.
So, as I recall, the document that I shared with Robert was the definitions that were published by the SUS before devolution. So, they may be out of date by 20 plus years.
Right. And if I could chime in here real quick,
Yeah.
because the document came through me, and this is what's here from the document is annotated, it's not literal. And we were just trying to capture the spirit so that it would conform to what you all had in there for instructor lecturer. So, and to reiterate, and I think Jason had already said this, but just to reiterate, we're not wedded to any of the language that we inserted in here. If you have language that would work better for you, our suggestion is to put it in there, give it back to us, let us see it. But we don't give this as a definitive definition. We were just operating under what we had from that file you shared with me, Charlie.
Did you have any questions for Heidi about the definitions for instructor or lecturer that were suggested? I can't see from your document whether or not you amended what was provided or not.
Robert, do you mind scrolling back up to that language? It's around line 53, I think.
So there's no changes to the proposed language.
No, we'll accept the proposed language as a quid pro quo to adding definitions for these positions.
As a quid pro quo. Okay, thank you. All right, well, Heidi, have a good day.
All right, then, Jason and Robert, you'll make sure that we get a copy of this after our session then.
And I think Charlie already said this, but if you're going to do this, there's also an assistant scholar, scientist, engineer.
There's a whole bunch of
we'll take a look.
A whole bunch of others that you will probably want to include as well, because otherwise it's a little bit of cherry picking here. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason, for that. Appreciate you stepping in. Okay. Moving on, I guess we'll do Article 20 first. And we actually do not have a lot of changes here we're proposing. And as you know, we had 20 open during full book, and we went back and forth about how to include some independent voice into the process. We could not come to an agreement during full book, so this is our attempt to return to that issue. And the bargaining team is offering, I think, you know, based on the conversations during full book, a solution that might be that you all might be interested in to create a independent voice within the process that would, you know, may satisfy us and you at the same time. So there's actually two pieces that are, oh, sorry, I'm not sharing the screen. There's two pieces in here that we changed for you all to consider, and only two pieces, really. So one is we created what we're referring to as a feedback panel. And this is a little bit in the spirit of what Talat had offered back in full book, but it's a little bit scaled down. So I don't think it would be a bureaucratic burden in the way that you all had some concerns about in the earlier process. So what we were thinking about with the feedback panel is the feedback panel would be made up of two people, one person who is in unit, one person who is out of unit. And what we would do is each side would come up with a list of five people who have agreed to serve on the feedback panel, should it become necessary. And so our list, UFF's list, we've made of bargaining unit people. So we would select five people who've agreed to serve if needed on the feedback panel. And you all would come up with five people who are out of unit who would serve on the feedback panel. And so we each would have a list of five people. And if we get to the point that the feedback panel becomes necessary, which I'll talk about the mechanics of it a little bit later, we would pick one person from your list of five and you would pick one person from our list of five. And those two people would represent the feedback panel. And so now I'll talk a little bit about the mechanics. And of course, if anyone needs to be changed out in the feedback panel before the 2 year commitment, they can be changed out with no issue. Okay, I'm gonna talk about the feedback panel, then I'll talk about the other change, which is different. So at the end of step one, once step one is concluded, if the grievant wishes the feedback panel to write up an observation of the step one conclusion, then they can go to that. And the two people, one person in unit, one person out of unit, would consult. They would look at the materials that were provided at step one and the results of step one, and then the feedback panel would provide their feedback to that process up to that point in time. And they could do a joint statement if they agree, and they can do a statement individually if they don't agree. And then the grievant would have the option to use that feedback panel for step two, the results of the feedback panel, or not. And then we would go to step two, and then whoever is making the decision at step two would have and consult with the feedback panel. And the feedback panel is non-binding, so it wouldn't violate the legislation that surrounds what's happened to arbitration. And I go over the next one. If you don't have any questions about the feedback panel, I'll go over the next change.
Okay, I may have a couple of questions. I understand the concept. Interesting thing for us to look at. Would these people that are on our respective lists be trained?
I don't know that they have to be trained, obviously, but I mean, if you're going to pick someone on the panel, I would hope that you and we would pick people on the panel that are familiar with these processes and familiar with the contract. But I mean, I think we would get bogged down with things like training and things and stuff like this. I don't know that it's that necessary.
Well, I ask that because if we do something like this and we get a report from a feedback panel, I want to make sure it's useful. And if people are winging it for the first time, I've really not done this, but I want to help out, whether it's an out-of-unit person or an in-unit person that has good intentions that they're helping out. We do hope that whatever feedback we get from the feedback panel, that it's something that's useful.
That's why
I asked the question.
Sure. So we'll give this document to you if that's something you want to tweak. I'd be interested in seeing how you would tweak for that. Any other questions?
One more, I guess. As I think about these two lists, I'm recalling kind of what we will get to at some point with the list of arbitrators. And
like we'll be picking people in their 80s and they'll pass.
No, that's not what I meant. But when it gets time to select an arbitrator, as I remember how it's done, is that one side gets to exclude somebody, and then the other side does, and then we see who's left, and that's who the arbitrator might be. What I heard you say, I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is that each side would select someone from the other's list, which I guess is the same thing. Which four people are we striking from the other's list? Is there anything that we would want to think about putting in place to ensure that the wealth is shared, and people who agree to serve on this for a 2-year term would, maybe I can't do two in a row or whatever.
I mean, they can decline. So if you read the language in here, when you get it, you'll see that someone on the feedback list can decline, and we could go to the next person. So it's not like when you pick someone, they have to serve. Obviously, people travel, people get tied up with things. So, I guess we would just have to hope that five people would be enough to go through the list if this gets triggered. But I mean, we can talk about these things later. I mean, this is just an opening conversation. So I would imagine we'll have more to talk about and fine tune this a bit more. But this is just sort of what the bargaining team was talking about as a revision to this article.
And, this could work potentially if we agree on this, if we do a better job maintaining these lists than we've done with the other lists that we're supposed to use. And I know Talat and Craig have been working with the state office trying to get us back up to snuff and where we should be on the list of arbitrators. But this kind of thing works if we really embrace it and keep these lists current. So, we'll take, this is another thing we'll be happy to take a look at this.
And I guess the other thing we'd have to think about, I just thought about it while we were having this back and forth, Chuck, is we might have to think about how it would look skipping the step two process, but allowing the feedback panel to have a say. I wasn't thinking about that when we were talking about this, and so that might be when you have your conversation, if you push this further, maybe think about that as well.
So we go through step one. The grievant asks for a feedback panel
At the end of step one.
at the end of step one. Yeah. And then what happens?
No, I'm saying what happens if the desire is to skip step one and go to step two, right?
Oh, I see. Okay.
So what, how does the feedback panel get triggered in the in that case? I forgot to think about that when we were talking about
Well,
this.
no, you didn't. You just thought of it and you put
Well,
it on
yeah.
our radar, so I
Right.
appreciate
So
that.
that would have to be figured out in this language as well.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions on the feedback panel? None?
I think
All
we're
right.
good on that for now.
Okay, so the other thing is really small. So one of the things the bargaining team wishes is when it's in the the bargaining team looked at the grievance language and some of the other contracts, and one of us noticed at the University of Florida, the grievant has 45 days instead of 30 to report. And in the calendar of the grievance, so we've put 45 days in here to see what you all would think about that, if you'd be amenable to that. And so that's where the 45 days comes from, to make it to make it like the UF CBA that we had consulted. And that's it. That's all that's in this revision. And I would assume if we come to an agreement on 20, 19 will be pretty simple, right? Because it just refers to 20.
Okay, it could be, yes,
Yeah,
if
so
we come.
that's our thinking as well, that when we nail down 20, then 19 shouldn't be too hard to work out.
Okay. We want to think about the 45 days
All right.
versus 30. One thing that I think is important with these grievances is we're trying to get a timely resolution of these, and this would potentially draw the process out longer for the grievant. And I think about some of the ones that we've addressed over the last few years, and there's some where we want to, if there's a problem,
Sure.
and in particular, I'm thinking of a recent one where we had to take a step back, and I even wish it had been filed a little bit sooner. But we'll take a look at that.
All right.
To me, that's the downside for bargaining unit members, is if there's something that is being challenged, they may be dealing with this for longer than they might otherwise. So that's
Okay.
I was curious to see if there was a 45-day extension to provide the response as well.
No, we were just handling our side. If you
I see.
want 45 days, put it in your version that you send back to us.
I see. I see.
That
Thank you.
was our position on the, we talked about it actually on the, and that was the position on the bargaining team. If you wanted the 45 days, you would put it in and send it back to us
Okay. I
to
see. Thanks.
consider.
Charlie, I just heard we could have it if we want it.
You could, sure, it's your,
I'm really
this is a
fond of
negotiation. We go back and
it.
forth, right? It's a conversation, Chuck, right?
It is. I'm very fond of the 30 days, but
Well, again,
thank you.
all right. Are we done with 20? Do you want to move on?
Is that
Chuck and
everything?
Lisa.
I want to say thank you for Article 20 that you're going to share with us. We didn't know what a proposal for 20 might look like. I understand 19 would be similar when we get to that. But
Yeah,
th
I
this, I think this you've given us something interesting to look at. We'll take a look at that. The changes that you're proposing are not terribly extensive. I was thinking that I didn't know what I was going to get, but I would not have been surprised if they were more extensive than they are. So
We can make it
we'll.
more extensive
No,
if that's what you, that's your
I wasn't
interest,
asking
Chuck.
for that, Robert.
All
Don't misunderstand me, but
right.
thank you. We appreciate all the thoughtfulness that's gone into that, and we look forward to looking it over.
All right, last item on the agenda is the MOU 10-year post-tenure review clock pause. Okay, this comes from what the FIU bargaining team offered to FIU at their bargaining session. And I want to say this was maybe the beginning of the year, the end of last year. I'm not sure exactly when they submitted this MOU to them. Our MOU in this case is different because a lot of their language and their MOU is specific to policies and the mechanics of how things worked at FIU that wasn't going to work here. So we've kind of adjusted it to hopefully fit into here. We might not have gotten it correct or perfect. So if you look at it and you sort of agree for the need of something like this, you all could fix this so that it works smoothly here at UCF. But basically what is here, it's an MOU in case there is some disruption in research funding by the federal government that we cannot anticipate, and certainly faculty cannot anticipate. And so in the event that someone has their research funding disrupted in a capricious manner, which is what we've seen around the country, they can have access to a 10-year or post-tenure review clock pause. So one of the things that would be required of the faculty member if they wish this option would be to document the disruption. So this is not a matter of a faculty member coming to UCF and saying, hey, I had this federal funding revoked, and so it's going to disrupt my my research to the point that it might impact me going up for tenure this year or next year, or post-tenure review this year or next year. So the onus would be on the faculty member to document that and then submit it. And I know there are, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Chuck, but I believe there is a process to request a pause, right? In tenure clock, and I've assumed post-tenure review too, but I'm not 100%
well,
sure.
There's a request can be made to reset the tenure clock by 1 year.
Okay.
There are certain cases where that happens automatically. So for example, a faculty member who may be on paid parental leave and is out for a semester, that whole year doesn't count on the tenure clock. Unless they choose to go up, or I mean, people can.
But I'm assuming, the nature of my question, though, Chuck, was more like, I'm sure there's like paperwork, right? And there's an official process to do this.
Well,
right?
I think for some things, and it's unfortunate Charlie's recording this in case I say this wrong, but I think there are things like paid parental leave where it's automatic.
Mm.
But there may be other cases where yes, there's a request. There's something's happened. Maybe somebody doesn't get medical leave, but both the tenure process and the post-tenure review process have language that say if somebody misses 160 hours or more in a semester, that year doesn't count, basically.
Okay.
But obviously, it would always be good if that's me that is in that position. I want to make sure that I dot the I's and cross the T's. So there's likely to be some paperwork. I do think some of these things happen automatically, but something that's
all right. Yeah, that's
a bit unusual.
Thing, right.
But it probably doesn't happen automatically.
That's the thing we weren't sure of, if there was actual paperwork, because it sounded like in the FIU case there was paperwork and there were check boxes, which is why I wasn't sure if the language was going to work on ours. So I didn't include
and
it.
We'll
so
look at that, Robert. Yeah,
all right.
We'll look at that.
So this would also, just to be clear, if the disruption can be documented, then it would trigger the pause. So that's the spirit of the language of this MOU. And we have two separate dates because, the dates of post-tenure review and the dates of going up for tenure do not coincide. So obviously going up for tenure has the earlier date, going up for post-tenure review has the later date, but they both precede the year. So this isn't, and I'm assuming no one's research funding has gotten disrupted for this year that I'm aware of. I might be wrong about that. If so, we could explore that, but this is really for next year, right? So it'd be like if something happens between now and next year at this time, there's this MOU that could give them some relief if the funding of their research gets sort of removed from them through some kind of arbitrary and capricious nature. All right. Is there any questions you have with the MOU?
No, I need to read through this, and our team
Sure.
needs to talk about it. We appreciate everything that your team works on and puts together, so we have a chance to take a look at it. We learn as we read what the bargaining unit members are thinking. It doesn't mean we choose to adopt everything that's presented to us, but we appreciate all the thoughtfulness that goes into these things, and it gives us an opportunity to think very carefully about what we're doing. So, looking forward to reading them, both the articles that you've got and this MOU, and we intend to respond next time.
All right, fantastic. That is all I have for you all.
All right. At this time, we were kind of hoping we'd have an Article 8, but we're not finished with Article 8 yet. Maybe next time we may have a longer session next time if we've got three articles that we're talking about and an
Yeah.
MOU.
I can probably confidently say we won't have a new article next session. Since we
Okay.
just gave you three, we'll let you
Yes.
chew on that and wait to hear back from
I understand, Robert, you've put all the pressure on our team.
you.
I understand how that works, and thank you. I think we're up for the challenge.
All right, fantastic.
Chuck, I did want to ask a question about the because you gave us that printed material, and
Yes.
can we have another week to get it back to you?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Talat. That'd be great.
It'd be good to just go over it, and it's been just too many things going on, but we can get it to you within a week. Sounds good.
All right, that sounds good. Robert, anything else for today?
That's all I have.
All
Well,
right.
thank you so much. You wore like a suit kind of thing. No, I guess
A
that's not a
suit
suit.
kind of thing. No, it's just a shirt.
It looks kind of suity for
This is
them
just a button-down shirt. I know
down
you're used to me in regular t-shirts or something, but a button-down shirt today.
Thanks so much, everyone.
Yeah,
And
thank you all. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you soon.
so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.